don't have that online.
We're going to start our historic preservation committee meeting. So, good afternoon, and Beth moved to the Town of Los Gatos, the Historic Preservation Committee meeting today, November 15th, and will now be called to order. I am Vice Chair Susan Burnett. Our Chair Barry Cheskin is not here tonight. So, I will be conducting the meeting, and now I'll do a roll call with a show of hands.
Since we do have an audio recording, if we could run through the names of the committee members, that would be
helpful. Yes. Okay, thank you. So we have myself, I'm here, and then Steve Raspy, Commissioner Steve Raspy, committee member Kay Ross,
I'm
and
here.
Committee member Lee Quintana.
Here.
And thank you. And I will now ask staff to read guidelines for our meeting.
Yes, for the benefit of the community, the Town of Los Gatos asks that you follow the town's meeting guidelines while attending town meetings and treat everyone with respect and dignity.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so moving on, now with verbal comments, if there's anyone in the audience that would like to bring up something that is not on our agenda, they would have, let's see, 5 minutes,
three minutes
to bring up anything that's on their mind. And seeing none, I will move forward to consent items. We have no consent items for tonight. So then we will move on to our our public hearing on, we have five items on the agenda tonight. And the first item, I believe, the applicant is not here.
No,
so.
We do now.
Oh, is it here? Okay, good. So staff, if you would like to give us a report on the first item.
Thank you. So this is a proposal for exterior modifications to a contributing residence at 92 Fairview Plaza, located in the Fairview Plaza Historic District. Address might sound familiar. This is the third or fourth time you've seen this project. Quick reminder, the front residence is the contributing historic residence. The back building is that multifamily building built after the historic cutoff date. So this time the request is to remove a window in the front porch that they claim was added on after the house was originally built. One half of the porch doesn't have any window enclosures, the other half does. And then as you'll see with the addendum report that was provided yesterday, they're also requesting another type of door as opposed to the ones that you guys had previously reviewed for one of the rear units. And the applicant's here and he can explain this in more detail if you have questions.
So first of all, if our committee members, do you have any questions for our staff on this item? Okay, seeing none, then we will have the applicant come up before us. Thank
Hello.
You.
Thanks for taking the time to sit down again here. So as Ryan mentioned, the main reason I was here is because on the porch at the front of 92 Fairview, when you're facing the building on the right side, it looks like there had been a window, as you can see in the photo, that had been added in, and the painters had kind of seemingly, it looks very much to be an addition. On the other side, it's completely open, as shown here. And other, pretty much this is the only one I've seen in the neighborhood that has an enclosure. Like all the neighbors and every other Victorian, the porches are all open. So it's kind of ugly, first and foremost, to have the window there. And I thought it would look really nice to have it matching the other side. And being open and nicely painted to accent the pillars and the molding. So that was the main item that I was here for. Secondly, in the back, I don't know if you want to talk about that now or after. Okay. Yeah, so in the back, this is less important. I had come here previously to get approval to turn a window to a door. What ended up happening, I think someone had recommended or advised on the other option I had looked at, which was a sliding glass door, as shown here, which in hindsight, I probably should have rolled with and done that. But there's a door there currently, and just I want to see, rather than having to submit again in the future, if it would be an option to still put the sliding glass door. If not, no worries, you can just keep with the door there. I'm going to be occupying it myself, and you know, it's just what ended up happening is it swings into the bedroom, so it shrinks the usable space of the bedroom. So those were the two items.
Could you state your name for the audio recording?
Yes, David Katz.
Thank you. So do we have questions for the applicant?
I'll start. First of all, on the porch issue, I think it's pretty clear, but you think those are an afterthought, not part of the original construction, correct?
Yes.
And so is your plan then just to remove them and then paint finish the porch so it matches, so the entire porch will be one continuous open space?
Exactly.
Okay. Perfect. So on the porch, that's great. On the back door, can you just remind me again, what's there currently?
Currently, there's a full light patio swing door.
And how wide is it? Is it a 30?
36 inches.
Okay.
This would be 72.
Okay, so you're going to have to open up the space?
Yes.
Okay.
So, okay, question. So when you came originally with the door, we voted or we recommended you keep what's there because it's a full glass, full plate pane window, or door, correct?
Well, we had received approval to turn the window to a full
mm-hmm.
light door.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I'm at the moment more likely that we'll just keep the door because it kind of got done and, you know, momentum is moving. But if it becomes unbearable, given that it swings into the bedroom and shrinks the usability of it, I wanted to, you know, tentatively see if that'd be approved as a secondary option versus having to submit again, because I know you've had a lot of submittals lately and, you know, can be, you know, booked out in the future.
So.
I sort of remember discussing the last time sliding door versus French type door, which would be more consistent with the front house.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think previously I think we would have come to the conclusion that either would have been, you know, acceptable at the time, but I at the time had thought that it'd be much more expensive to put in a slider and that an outswing door doesn't impact the door. What ended up happening is that an outswing door was like back ordered, you know, 3 months and like way more expensive versus the one that we had received approval on could only swing in because of the threshold. So it was like one of those little technical things that you couldn't flip the threshold, which, you know, I've done many a time on like interior doors. And so that's why now it goes into the bedroom. So as a secondary option, yeah, to put in a slider, which,
I have a question. Can you see it from anywhere on the street, or
not from the street? This is at the entire back of the property in the addition building, the triplex that was added in the back, with its own like backyard. And there's some condos down below, but like they're down below, so their topography doesn't have any direct sight to there.
Are there any other sliders on that building now?
No. Yeah.
Well, what would be the problem with doing French doors opening out?
I suppose that could be an option. I think cost would just be the main thing, and it seems easier to just do like a standard 72-inch, you know, sliding door versus like, you know, French doors that would open out, which would be very beautiful, but probably more typical of like a single family home with a big, you know, patio. But I think also for that, I think it's not a must have at this point. The door is in and it looks quite good, actually. It matches the one in the kitchen very nicely. So kind of weighing the aesthetics there of being perfectly symmetrical versus having a slider and a door there. But I think the more important today would be, you know, the window, you know, on the porch, but just knowing that there could be an option in the future for a slider in the back.
Okay, thank
you. I have one more question.
Sorry.
Does it open to like a big backyard, or is it like a personal, like a private sort of courtyard area that's behind the, sort of hidden from, like, the main backyard.
Yeah, it opens to kind of like the, a dead corner, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's fenced in now as the backyard for the downstairs unit.
So if you had French doors, it would it take up space? Like, is it a small area that French doors would take up space?
No,
or?
it's a big area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I think Lee has another.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have another question on the porch and the windows. And this question is staff. I'm looking at the picture of the porch and the pillars, and it almost looks to me like they weren't original. The way they're, you know, jacked up at the top with an extra piece of wood that doesn't seem to make too much sense. And again, at the bottom, they don't really fit all the way to the porch.
I mean, ultimately, we don't have any permits showing what was done out here. I can say that the research I did on this style of house, none of the original, you know, examples show any sort of windows in the porches. Everything's always open. But I don't know what happened.
Okay, so I think we'll move to, are there any public comments on this project? Okay, no, that's okay. And then, did you really want to add anything additionally?
No, that's pretty much it. Just make it match, you know, the other side with a nice open look and get it restored. And since we're now painting it, that's why I was here today, to have it removed so that we can make it nice.
Okay, so I'll close our public meeting, and then we'll go to committee discussion on this project. Thank you.
Great, thanks.
The porch, I think, to me is a no-brainer. I mean, I think the glass clearly was an afterthought for whatever reason. Maybe there's wind protection or something going on in there, but I think removing it actually adds to the authenticity of the structure, so I would absolutely be on board with that. As to the door, again, to the extent there's no other slider in the house, I think it's not period correct. I would advise against the slider. I would say either keep what he has in now, or if we were going to grant something, the French door would work for me. Either of those scenarios, but not the slider.
Okay, I think I tend to agree with you on the porch, and also your reasons for the slider. And he seems to be okay with what is there now, and that came before us before, so I would be happy with keeping what's there now and not going to a slider and removing the windows on the porch.
I would agree. We have a question of staff. At the meeting that we approved this, the motion included considering putting wood trim around the windows and doors. Has that been included in the project?
So I haven't seen updated plans showing.
I meant to ask the applicant.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Perhaps we can ask the applicant.
Well, it wasn't a requirement, and I don't think the intent at that point was to do that immediately. I think it was to consider it in the future. Was kind of the feedback that we, or the sense that I got from them. But I think that also isn't really connected to the question here.
Okay, is there any more discussion? Otherwise, we can go to a motion.
Something to say. I'm fine with the porch windows being taken off, and I actually think that I would allow you to put the sliders in. I have a historic home on Tate, and I have a sliding door to the backyard. And I'd be upset if somebody told me I had to put swinging doors also for space, even though I have a larger backyard, but there was some structure built there and I wouldn't want to have had that hitting my barbecue area. I just find it practical, and considering that that's not a historic part of the property that you don't see from the street, I think that a slider that makes life easier is appropriate.
Okay, any more discussion? Would you like to make a motion?
Let me try. I move to approve construction of exterior alteration to a contributing residence located in the Fairview Plaza Historic District on property zoned R-1 18 LHP, located at 92 Fairview Plaza, APN 510-43015, specifically approval of removal of the windows on the front porch. And with respect to the rear door, either keeping the current formation or a French door would also be permissible. I can make all the required findings.
Thank you. Do we have
a second?
Can you second that? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we have a majority.
Passes unanimously.
Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, moving forward to item number 2, which is 32 Euclid.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you. So good evening. Before you is consideration of removal of a residence located at 32 Euclid Avenue, not located in a district. The staff report outlines the background and sort of lack of information from Sanborn Maps and Bloomfield Survey on the property. The applicants provided their research, which included some anecdotal evidence of the property, the structure once being a barn for the neighboring property, and they also provided some evidence in photos of modifications and additions that can also be seen just looking at the photographs as the structure has evolved over time. The residence includes multiple types of siding, which is sometimes indicative of additions taking place over time, including varying widths of horizontal wood siding, plywood, and board and batten siding. There's also a mixture of metal, vinyl, and wood windows, as you can see in all the pictures. And lastly, the residence does not individually appear to be representative of a distinct style of architecture. Should the committee find merit in the request, the property would be removed from the inventory and future permits for the property would not be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Committee. And that concludes my report. Happy to answer any questions.
I have one question for staff.
Yes.
And I think I know the answer, but the 1941 cutoff and the HBC inventory, is it just residences and commercial properties? Does it also apply to ancillary outbuildings, barns, those types of structures?
So typically it's looking at the residence. When we get into the districts, we look a little bit deeper and look at accessory structures.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that the design guidelines is written, as I recall and don't have it in front of me, is that the accessory structures are typically considered when you're in a district, and this is not in a district.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, are there any more questions for staff? Ms. Quintana,
do you have any information on the original parcel that this belonged to?
So I looked into I don't have much that shows original shapes. I did look into some historic aerial photographs of the area, and that sort of horseshoe bend in that corner of what is now Euclid. I can't make a conclusive call on whether it looks like it was all one property or not, because aerial photographs don't have property lines, but you can see sort of a dirt road going through there. That's about all I really saw. There was a structure there, and when the applicant provides their presentation, they might be able to bring more light to
that. Is that whole area beyond the Sanborn Maps?
Yeah.
Do we have any further comments for staff?
Yeah, I have a further question. What do you know when the addition was added?
I don't, and we didn't have a whole lot of permit history. A lot of this stuff has been provided from just the photographs of the house, showing where the different kinds of siding meets up, and the photos that the applicant provided in their research showing some conversions of space, that's what it appears to be, and some additions going on. But I didn't have any dates or any permit history on
that.
So we'll move forward to your...
All right, well, thanks for having us here.
And what's your name, please?
My name is Kurt Anderson, Denver. From Anderson Architects. And first off, when we start, I really want to say how much we appreciate you, Sean, help us through the directions. We don't do a lot of historical work, although we just did one downtown San Jose. That's another story in itself. But Sean really helped us get in the right direction. We went to the library, did all the research. And what we presented to staff as part of our application was really all we could really ascertain what had really occurred in that property. But it's very clear that this structure has been modified over time, several times. You know, different siding, different window types. The front porch was not enclosed, and it was enclosed. They added this shed out to the back. So I've toured the site as well as I could, and it's very obvious that it's just a hodgepodge of pieces put together. And that's pretty all much. As far as we could determine, it was a barn. We found that in through the permit search and the property search, but they turned that into a residence over time. So then they added the upper portion. They added a whole bedroom up there. That was not part of it. They added that wing out the back. Did they add the front porch, et cetera. So it's very clear to me that there's no historical structural merit at all to this building. So it's our intent is to demolish it and then build a new residence there that is more in keeping with the flavor of Las Gatas, more of a historical kind of farmhouse type of architecture that will really become an addition to the neighborhood. It'd be a very kind of complete that, because there's a lot of new homes, and I think that will help get rid of it. This really is an eyesore, so we want to make it, improve it. So, and then this is Alex Anderson. He's my not related by any means, but,
but my wife and I live at 24 Euclid, which is two houses over. It's in the same horseshoe. And the original owner to the home that we now live in was Mary Johnson, who lived to 108. She was the original owner. And the barn, as best we understand it, serviced that property, which our house has been remodeled twice over prior to our ownership. The photos that we shared that were provided us by the previous owner, Jared Rowland, depict the front enclosure, the back, the second story, and the shed, along with the aluminum windows, all being added in or after the 1970s. Different siding.
Alex was here with the committee, the comment from the seller of the property.
We've known Jared for quite a while, and she doesn't have a lot of family. Her support system is the Rotary Club in Cupertino, and who we have overlapping projects, and we know a bunch of them as well. And her request was that she wants a tour of the house and wants dinner at Parkside now that it's open. Hopefully we can fulfill that.
So that's really a good thing when the seller is in support of what we're hoping to achieve on that property. So
my wife and I moved to Euclid 2 years ago. We walked that street for years as we were renting around the corner, and it had to be Euclid. The house came up for sale. We did everything possible to move there. It took a lot to get there. We love it. We have a vested interest in the future of that community. So when I knew that Jared was going to be transferring to assisted living community, she knew that our goal was to build this house and hopefully move there. But we care deeply about the street, and we're definitely going to add to it. So.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the committee for the applicant?
If I can ask just one, can you talk about, I can't get from the pictures, the habitability issues? What's the condition of the structure?
It's inhabitable. It's hard to believe that Jerry lived there and herself. It's infested structurally. The roof is, has the dip in it. It's very poorly in conditions. Okay. The back piece of the house that was added in the 70s was absolutely filled with rat droppings.
It's in really bad shape. Like Alex says, the roof, there's no insulation. I mean, it's just, you wouldn't want to live there.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, I think we will, since you were basically the member of the public that spoke, correct?
Yeah.
Part of that?
I mean, you're part of the applicant.
Yeah, he's
the applicant.
And, he's my client.
And part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
It's the team in black.
Oh, okay. Do we have any members in the public that would like to speak?
We do.
Yes.
We do. Okay, good. Please come up and state your name.
Michelle Kasanovich, architect. I just wanted to add some information about this property. Jara Roland lived in the house for 53 years. She moved in 1970, and originally this was a barn built in 1900. And it had been lightly improved to a house, but she did live in it for 53 years. And I know it well because I used to visit her often. She was a public school teacher for 40 years, a Rotarian for another 20. But back in 87, the bell ringers of Los Gatos approached her to put her house on the registry. So, but being a public school teacher, she could not afford to make the upgrades to be on the 87 list for the centennial celebration. But it is true, it's absolutely a barn. And the neighborhood knows it as such. Jara's neighbor was Marie Johnson, and Marie moved in 1944, and she did live to 108 years old, and she spent her last years in, she died in her wonderful little pink house. But Jara and Marie knew each other and were neighbors for 34 years. And Marie Johnson told the Mercury News and Jara that when she moved to Euclid, now Euclid, it was all orchards, and it was just her husband Roy had built the house, and he also built the little next door neighbor, I think it was 30 Euclid, sort of as a secondary building, and the barn was there. So, as a barn, I mean, unlike many houses today, this barn is actually sited beautifully in the environment. It faces directly east, it's meeting the rising sun, it's the first thing you see when you come down Euclid. And I know this, the pictures are not very attractive, but this is really the situation. We come down the curve in the street, and that is what you see until the street bends in front of it. As a barn, I feel that the structure has merit and value. It was an inspiration for a home that I actually remodeled at 11 Euclid, and the rear elevation is almost a replica of what I think is the Johnson Orchard Barn. Marie had said, and Jara believes, that it was all part of the 200-acre tract that was originally the Johnson property. So, but then it got, you know, that tract got parceled out, divided up, and I don't know for sure if Roy was a descendant of the Johnsons. It's just a guess. So I just wanted to put that out there. And if this, you know, property gets swept clean, which I think there's another way to do it, I think there could be a great project here. But if it ends up being decided that it gets swept clean, I think it would be nice to commemorate this barn as part of the Johnson farmhouse and that whole legacy. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, question for me?
She can ask questions.
Yeah, okay. You said you think there's other ways to do it. Could you elaborate?
It's a tough one because these gentlemen are correct. It's really a dilapidated structure in terms of a house. It's not necessarily infested beyond some of our, what happens in some of our attics, I don't believe. The roof is sagging. But I think that even if it were an entirely new house, it could recall what's actually there as a barn. Or perhaps the original outline of it could be preserved and restructured from the inside. And I mean, really, it needs new sheathing and everything else, but the outline of it is telling a story, and it's definitely a barn. It's not a house. So, and I love seeing the old pictures of it. You could see that it had a little roof, a shed roof on the front with pole posts, not square posts. You know, that was actually a cute little, they made it a cute little bungalow before it got closed in and kind of hodgepodge, boom, 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 on the sides. But that's just, I feel like there's something that could be done to preserve that structure's legacy.
Thank you. Okay.
Applicant,
would you like to?
Yeah, I'd like to address that. I think there's some merit to some of the items you brought up, but I'm going to tell you, I've been an architect for a long, long time, and that structure is just not worth saving at all. The foundations, one would be sustained in today's current seismic events. Like I said, the insulation, all that. But part of what we're doing with the design of this the new house we're working on is a contemporary farmhouse. So we're taking that history into effect. And Alex and I also had discussed potentially placing a brass plaque on the property to commemorate the history of that site. So that would be in deference and out of respect to that structure. But as a building that could be rehabbed, it would be more expensive to do that, would not get the quality of today's what we need from energy standpoints and water and seismic and everything else. I just don't think it's a good idea to save the structure. But we are definitely in favor of respecting the history and doing something to commemorate the outside.
A lot of the history that I heard, I apologize for not remembering her name, speak of, I think is more of the occupants and not of the structure itself. I know the owners of 11 Euclid. At the neighborhood party at Testa Rosa, I've heard them talk about their house. It was never referenced anything related to the barn. Euclid does horseshoe, but it's not a straight shot. You don't see the barn when you turn on the Euclid. And essentially, we're trying to build the future home for my family, and that would be our forever home. And so there's a story moving forward on the timeline as well. So though she said Marie, but we all talked about Mary Johnson, and even the previous owner is hugely in favor of this. So, I do feel it was a touching story, but it was more, I think, on the personal side, not the structural side. So,
and one last comment. We actually have cited the new structure very similar to the existing structure itself. Same orientation, same when you come around the corner, you can be able to see it. We tucked the garage on the left side, so you'll see that, and we have a covered front porch. So there's a lot of similarities in the design that you can respect history of that structure. So that was a good point you brought about the siding. So we were very careful about that, locating in the same location. So you can see that when you come down Euclid and you make that swing, you can see that because it's kind of tucked behind the other property lines. You come around, be able to see this gorgeous farmhouse look, and you'll be able to see that front porch. So that'll be in deference to that existing structure.
And the board and batten siding on there, is that in not great condition?
And there's probably there's four or five different styles of siding on that structure.
Yeah.
And there's walls that are open in the back. I mean, it really is just, it is.
24 Euclid, my house now, is in a modern farm design as well. So this is something that is consistent throughout Euclid.
Yeah.
And so we want that to fall in line as well.
Are there any further questions for the applicant? Should we close the public meeting?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, yes.
Thank you. Okay, so committee discussion.
Last one. Yeah. Either way.
You start.
Okay, I'll start.
Follow.
There are easy ones before this committee and there are hard ones. And this is a hard one for me. For me, it boils down to it's a barn. And if we're trying to save it as a barn, that's one discussion, but we're not. We're trying to save it as a house. And so it's not it's not an old house. It's a newer house out of an old barn that has been remodeled extensively and has seen a lot of different ideas attached to it. And so for me, the threshold inquiry is first is, do we as a committee have jurisdiction over this property? And the answer to this, I'm not sure we do based on my first question to Sean. We don't rule necessarily on ancillary structures, and that's what this is. It was built as a barn. And then secondly, even if we do have jurisdiction over it, it seems to me that there's been so many changes to it that what was there is no longer there, which is a shame because you can see some of the old in there, and it was at once a beautiful barn building, which would be fantastic to keep, but that's gone. And so for me, based on both those criteria, the fact that it's an ancillary structure and it's been modified extensively, I would reluctantly request or approve the request with the caveat that I would ask any subsequent, because we lose jurisdiction of the property if we grant the request. There'd be some placard or some identifying marker to identify either the structure or the prior occupants as appropriate. Those are my thoughts.
Well, I tend to agree with what you said, and it's hard because there's not many barns in Los Gatos. I know there is one on Los Gatos Boulevard behind the historic home, and you know, they're treasures because they're a unique part of our history. And look, coming around the corner on Euclid, you can tell that was a barn. I mean, it still has the barn look to it, although if you take away all the other accessory and everything that's been done to it. So I agree with Commissioner Raspy that we probably don't have jurisdiction over this, although I did hear from the public that it was considered to be maybe a bell ringer property at one point, but I guess that was not followed through on.
And I can add some clarification that while it may have been an accessory structure at one point, it is now a primary residence on
yes.
its own property. So we've brought it to you for consideration for removal from the inventory.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you have jurisdiction over it.
Oh, we do have jurisdiction.
That's why the request is here.
Okay.
It's not an accessory structure anymore. It, at one point, it looks like it was, but it has since evolved. It's the story of that structure.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sense of it has evolved into its own residence, and there was some discussion about the timing of when it was converted to a residence, and that could be part of the consideration as well.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Quintana.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on what he said about accessory structures across the street from where I live. Used to be one large, the whole block was one large house and accessory structures. Subsequently, it had been divided up, and one of the lots had what was an accessory structure to the main house, and that came in for a request for demo, and it was ruled that because it was on its own lot.
Are you in a historic district?
No.
No.
But
okay.
I'm not in a historic district, but I'm probably in a district that should be a historic district.
I tried to make it a historic district.
We've had that discussion too. There
yeah.
Are,
yeah. Many
okay.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that. The other thing that I feel, and I felt this before the speaker, but especially after the speaker who added some more knowledge to the history of that area, that because we're all having a hard time with this, I believe that this is a property that needs a professional historic report done on it so that we actually have more information beyond what's in our library and the historic room. In addition to that, you know, yes, it had all kinds of different siding on it, but if you look carefully at some of these pictures, it appears that the original was board and batten and the tongue and groove stuff was added later. But more important to that than that, Los Gatos history is a history of agriculture and specifically of orchards. And barns are very typical of that. And there aren't very many of them left. And so I think it's particularly important that we give this very serious consideration. The other thing I would ask staff, I don't know how to phrase this. Is it possible to grant a technical demo and not take it off the historic inventory and have it rebuilt essentially consistent with its current styling?
I think the answer may be yes. I'm not sure that we would call it a technical demolition. Maybe we're exempting portions of it so it remains, so it stays away from a technical. I suppose the path forward, if that were to be the will of the committee, would be to keep it on the inventory, and then a project would have to come through. The technical demolition piece adds some
complication to it, though.
Yeah, I mean, there have been situations where, for example, the front siding of a historic house is allowed to be removed and replaced in kind, even though it is more than, you know, the amount allowed.
Typically, that's done through the exemption because there's typically it's because it's in poor condition.
Yeah. But usually that's, you know, replace in kind to match. It's not you know, major renovation.
Right. That's
I'm struggling with this. Even the fact that it's been altered. We approve lots of alterations to historic homes, so that's sort of a natural progression. If they're done not consistent with the original design, then they can be modified. I'm just throwing out thoughts.
So, question for staff. So if we keep it in our historic inventory, would it come back to us for a new design?
It would come back. They could submit an application to redevelop it. We'd have to look at how they would work with the existing structure before we determined what the exact request would be to bring it back to you. It would come under a preliminary review initially, and then it would require, my guess, as an architecture inside application to redevelop it or to make additions and renovate it. We'd have to look into that.
But really the question before the committee tonight is, can the findings be made for this request, right? Is the structure still historic, or has it lost the historic status because of the changes over time? You know, as you go through those findings that were presented in the report, that really is the focus of the consideration today.
Okay, so is there any more committee discussion on this?
I'd like to ask staff, is it possible to request that a full historic report be done prior to making any decision?
I mean, if the committee does not feel that they can make the findings required for removing this pre-1941 project from the inventory, then that might be an option that's provided to the applicant, that they could come back with additional information. But I don't think that would be a requirement.
I think part of that, to expand on that, is the added cost, and the typical process through HPC is supposed to be more carrot than stick.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't charge fees for this process. It really is just supposed to supplement the design review.
But we do have examples of projects that come through with professional historic reports.
And I think if there's specific information that's lacking, that could be filled in with a historic report by a qualified historian, then that's something that you could recommend as part of your decision tonight, and they could come back and make a new request.
Want to make a motion on that? Let's get down
there. I don't know how to make the motion. First, I guess I could make the motion that I can't make the findings because I don't have the total information necessary. But certainly, to me, the structure does yield information about the town's history. It yields information about the town's historic agricultural and orchard past.
Excuse me, Lee, can you speak up a little bit, please? You're hard to hear.
I'm sorry.
That's not good. Okay.
Could you help me with making the motion? I want to suggest that at this moment we do not take it off the historic inventory.
So it's denying the request?
Denying the request for some of the reasons that I just stated, that we don't have that information, and it could be that with that information, we might consider reconsider taking it off the inventory. Do I need to say anything? What did I?
You already said that you weren't able to make the findings.
Yeah.
You noted that your opinion is that the structure does yield information on the town's history and its agricultural past.
Yeah, and the fact that we had just heard from the audience that there is additional information regarding the association of this property with other historical aspects of the town, that again, we need more information before coming to any conclusion about whether we want to maintain it on the inventory or not.
Okay. We have a second. I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry.
Okay. Three.
So that passes 3-1,
yes,
with Planning Commissioner Raspy voting no.
Great.
Okay.
So what's next for us?
I can follow up with you tomorrow.
Okay, moving forward on item number 3 at 44 Broadway.
Thank you. So before you tonight is a, for lack of a better term, formal review of a minor residential development application for an addition exceeding 100 square feet to a existing second story. This is a contributing single-family residence in the Broadway Historic District. The preliminary review is conducted by the committee on August 23rd of this year, and as outlined in your staff report, there's a number of recommendations made to the applicant. The applicant has returned and submitted the formal application, as I stated, and that application is currently under review by staff for its technical merit and would follow the path towards noticing and a decision in the future. Your recommendation is sought to inform the deciding body. In response to the committee's feedback, the applicant did remove the scissor trusses on the rear elevation deck, the covering over the deck. The rear doors of the opening to the proposed deck have been revised to add side lights and divided lights. The renderings of the porch railings have been corrected to be more accurate and show that the addition, the top addition, would align with the lower addition and reflect the existing railings design. The windows have been revised to double hung as consistent with the existing residence, and the applicants provided some information to staff verbally that the windows would be all wood, windows and doors would be wood with proportions to match the existing doors and windows to remain, and that the depth of the rear deck has been reduced from 11 feet to 10 feet. The applicant has also indicated that they brought, that they would provide a sample of the poly ash siding material that is proposed as part of the project. This is a wood appearing material, but it's made from composites and byproducts from coal combustion. Staff has provided all this information and more in the staff report, and I'm happy to provide you any questions you might have.
Okay, do we have any questions for staff?
I have a question. Have we approved any other homes in historic districts to use a material other than wood siding?
It's very rare, and I couldn't tell you the address, although I think it's on Almendra. There was a garage in my early days here that was came back in after final inspection, and during final inspection it was revealed that they had put cement siding on hardy board, mm-hmm. and they that was approved. There's probably other examples out there. There's not a ton, but there are examples out there, and we do periodically bring that fiberglass composite window material to you, which is a future item coming up for discussion, but we do see this, but the guidance that you would get in the residential design guidelines is that it needs to be a wood appearing material from kind of close proximity. It should look genuine to the material that it's replicating.
Did that change at some point? Like, were the rules ever it had to be the same material that the home was built with, or it's always been if it looks.
I think that that section of the guidelines hasn't changed to my knowledge. Obviously, the makeup of the committee has changed over years, and I think trends ebb and flow. So I couldn't speak to that part of it, but I know the recommendations and the guidelines have not changed.
Okay. Any more questions for staff? Otherwise, we'll hear from the applicant.
Hi.
Thank you.
Please state your name. And I've not asked our committee members if we have viewed all these properties that were. So I want to make sure we all did.
Yes, we did. I did.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Roberta Scott. I'm the homeowner.
Yeah.
Going along, the architect.
I'm Kevin. Project.
We brought you lots of good things to look at.
We did our homework. Okay, so we got our full-size plans here, polyash siding, samples of the windows that we're trying to go for. For the house. So, to recap, we're a full Victorian home with lap siding. We took a picture of the siding.
Yep.
And we have pictures over here. And we have the exact dimensions of the polyash siding to match the exact siding of the wood in the house.
This is the picture I took today.
Yeah.
And that's the siding, and that's the polyash next to it.
And you can see there's a wood texture that actually matches it identically.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even tell.
And then we even got the length of the lap.
The same.
Yeah.
This is the
polyash siding.
Oh.
It's incredible stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
Never have to maintain it for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Is this
both the best woes.
Benefit for fire retardation?
Huge benefit, yeah. Termite resistant,
fire
resistance, and then no cupping, no twisting. When the sun hits it, it's indestructible. You can take a hose and shoot it on the house. Beautiful stuff. So maintenance is very good. It will hold the character of the house.
So this is what it looks like right now, next to my house, not painted. But it's identical. Once you paint it, it's going to look just the same.
Yeah. So what they do is they shoot a 16D nail where it's hidden. And where you see it, they shoot a finished nail, put the putty on top, smooth it over, and they spray down with Benjamin Moore paint. And I would say majority of our houses in our firm, the high-end houses, do that. My own personal house has it. I love it. It's just like, my house is pure white, beautiful, craftsman. I don't have to worry about it. No twisting, no cupping, no peeling of the caulking. It holds up so nicely. So I definitely recommend it. Yeah.
Is there a cost differential between this and
this?
This
is more.
Is it more?
The homeowner is putting more in, higher quality. I'm telling you, it's a remarkable difference in terms of quality of the home.
Yeah, I'm sorry, can I
see
one more time?
Yeah.
And I can speak just a tiny bit to that. We used to have a property in Maine. And when we did it all low maintenance with this type of material and stuff. And because we would only go there in the summer, and every time we would come back, it looked brand new. It just and that Maine has hard winter weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, that's my experience with
did
it.
Did you bring that in as color samples or?
So this is the product. We are going to paint it with a Benjamin Moore paint. We will color match exactly to this. Benjamin Moore has the best color matching, best quality of paint.
Can you guys go over the other changes that you made? I know we gave you
okay.
a list of...
The next one was, we were looking at the windows and doors. So for the window, what we'd like to do is we're planning to do a fiberglass exterior with a wood clad interior. And you can see the cross section. This is a Milgard brand. There's also another brand that we were looking at, which is Colby. I believe we're going to steer towards this, the Colby Heritage Series. So you could flip through this. It would work very well with Folk Victorian. Yeah, the Heritage Series.
Through the chair, could you summarize what the materials would be? Interior?
Interior is wood, so exterior is fiberglass. Yeah,
fiberglass painted?
Yeah. Correct. This would be similar to the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But down the road, say, 50 or 100 years from now, can
fiberglass is very strong.
Product be painted?
Oh, yeah. So they improved because it used to be vinyl was the most affordable. Mm-hmm. Fiberglass is the next thing in the line because it has the fibers. It lasts much longer. So we're recommending that in terms of quality and value. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, we've used them on the houses, and they don't twist. Vinyl has a problem with twisting, has a problem with sun. When winter and summer comes, vinyl has, that's the weakness of it. You don't want to replace it because if you have an exterior like this mm-hmm. and the windows are the weak point, then you got another problem. Mm-hmm. With fiberglass, you don't have that problem.
What about that versus all wood?
All wood would be less resistant than fiberglass, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fiberglass is a stronger option. And then aside from that would be the strongest option would be metal, a metal clad window. Mm-hmm. But metal is a different cost factor. And I think fiberglass matches this project better too. Mm-hmm. But what they can do with the finish.
And stylistically, the window's going to be double hung, right?
Correct.
Based on
correct.
Our earlier discussion.
Yes, we have it all in the window schedule, mm-hmm. and we have all the window styles matching. We only have light dividers on the existing windows, and one set of light dividers in the back porch area. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The dividers windows are only present in the basement. Level, so you actually don't see dividers on the first floor and above.
Yeah, and those are the existing windows. We're not adding those in.
Right.
So Kevin has brought the model. You can see proportionally we're trying to balance everything to the existing roof slope. It's a very unique roof, a steep star-shaped roof, and we actually match exactly to the pitch. So there's no strange undulations in the roof. Give me one second. I'm going to rotate the model. Yeah. Here we go.
I see.
So he's highlighted where the new gables are, mm-hmm. right? And you can see the existing. This actually matches exactly to the slope. And we don't have the truss anymore. We have the matching siding right there with the detail, matching guardrail, matching posts, all to the matching to the existing home.
We're pretty much doing our best to retain the historical elements of what the existing home.
Or enhance them.
Or
enhancing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or enhancing. I just want it to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And to fit.
Yeah.
That is my goal.
It's Los Gatos enhanced. We're celebrating your culture.
Yeah, I love the neighborhood. I love my home. And I just want it to be better than what it is now at the current standard of that.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a functional obsolescence because of the stairs,
mm-hmm.
right? That's
right.
Not a good thing to have. No guardrails, very steep, and it's a twisting stair. It's not a switchback. She has to take, the stairs get to like this thin. So we fixed that problem in the house. We have a modernized or a more functional kitchen because
mm-hmm.
your kitchen's completely outdated.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely use your stove. Your oven doesn't work.
Right.
She has a spiral staircase. That's not historical. That was added after
that
the fact. So we converted that back to what is more historically accurate to what was originally there.
Okay. And so going back to this, you're not cladding the entire structure. You're matching existing siding?
We'd like to do this if we touch a wall. We want to take that whole panel. Correct. So that will look 100% consistent, and it matches the other panels.
Okay.
Now, if we find dry rot, then we will hopefully talking to the owner saying, hey, how do you want to handle this?
Okay.
You know? But from what we see, we know there's certain panels that we need to change entirely out, and we want to do it like that.
Does that trigger a technical deadline?
So that's a good question, and I'm writing notes about this. Under the building permit review, we will have to look extremely carefully, and that's going to have to be contemplated in your calculations. So if you intend not to cut, if you intend to cut an existing piece of siding,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to run the area all the way to where the existing seam is. And then under construction, if you run into any dry rot issues, you're going to need to adhere to the demolition
policy.
We're
used to that pattern.
Yeah.
Check with us.
Robert
yes.
Gray and your staff.
So understood
yeah.
why and staff.
Yeah.
We did the I did the demo calculation, and pretty much we have a lot of room for just in case.
Before contractor goes out there, I will blue tape it with my own hands. The other house we're doing, I'm spray painting the walls that are not to be demoed, so they will never go over the calc. Once they do, they're going to be talking to me, and it's not going to be pretty. So we will check all that.
Yeah, we will make sure to note that on every single sheet of plans, so there will not be a miss.
I'll say questions from the committee, then Ms. Quintana.
You answered my question on that. The other question I had is, why not replicate the windows from the kitchen on the new windows for the garage?
She wants to replicate the existing windows in the kitchen?
Well, the existing windows in the kitchen, which I'm these.
Oh,
because
you have a side of light.
You're talking about the style of this window, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're looking at is we have a French door here.
Yeah.
And that opens to the back. It's kind of like a courtyard, and there's a porch area. It creates a lot more functionality if we have this pair of French doors.
We need
shear walls too for the side of the French doors.
I'm talking about the garage.
Oh,
the garage.
Windows
are the garage.
Okay.
Oh, well, so those are going to be French.
She's asking why they don't.
Yeah. Or that one.
We can double hung that one.
And this and the doors as well.
Yeah.
You want the doors to look like the French doors that
are
on the back of the porch.
This one, I'm not sure I would do that, because if we do an outswing, then we have to put concrete, and by code we need to have a landing. If we do a slider, which is more functional what you're doing, then our landing is more reduced, because you don't have that much out there.
Yeah, I know that.
And if we do the French door inward, then we lose the garage space. So that's how we landed with this. This one we can double hung, right?
Yeah,
so you'd end up with two double hung.
Okay.
Right, because you're getting more light with the slider. So we'd have one here and one here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it the style? Is it of the sliders? Or is it just a notion of a slider? Do you want more lights in it? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not going to question the the French doors that you have on the deck, but my preference would be simpler painting, because the rest of the windows in the house do not have that many lights in them, but
it's a personal taste. That's what's going on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But we are enhancing everything we can on the house. Yeah.
The only question I still have is the mass of the deck overhang. It really adds to the mass of the house.
Yeah, so you can see it here. Why don't you rotate it more aerial and then show the courtyard, right? Because we are blending it in quite well, I would say. Do you see it there? So this is actually existing up to here, right? We're adding this, right? And we reduced it to a size that is comparable, just enough to get a small table out there, right? So that's more functionality. Otherwise, you just have a place you can walk.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to have the outdoor space.
Yeah.
To use, because to go all the way down to the yard.
A lot of cost just for a walk, I would say.
Yeah.
Is
great.
Is that what you're asking for?
We're not 10 feet. We are like, I think, 8, 7.5 or something.
I
think it's enough to like.
The
staff report
size.
Says
yeah.
It went from
11 to 10.
Yeah.
At least that's what
you
just read.
Okay, what are we at now? We're at
10?
Yeah, 10. Okay, I'm sorry. We're at 10 right now. And plus, we have this lowered area step here. So we need enough clearance to get someone to walk under here. This is existing.
Yeah, that's already existing there. You
so if we do that, we're going
to
be in the pit.
To get down to that level.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we make it shorter, then it would be pretty difficult to put the post down, and you actually reduce the width of the step into the garage.
Yeah.
So you're making this area
an egress.
No, I mean basement. You're making the egress to the basement.
Yeah.
Much more.
It's less detriment to the house. Otherwise, we have to push the door in, right, to get the egress door.
Again, this is just me, but in my lifelong love for Victorians, these kind of covered large porches on simple rather than really elaborate Victorians, to me, they don't really fit. I mean, it would seem like I just lost my senioritis.
We could check to see if there are any public comments, and then we'll have another opportunity to ask further questions.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize we hadn't done public comments yet.
Okay, yes, let's check to see if there's any public comments on this project. Mm-hmm. Seeing none. Okay, then we'll, is there any more response from the applicants? Otherwise, we'll close the public hearing.
Or see if any members of the committee have further questions.
Not portico. What am I trying to say? An opened arbor, kind of?
For clarification, you're talking about the deck covering, rather than having like the solid-ended gable to keep it?
Right.
More of an open with like exposed timbers?
Yeah.
Kind of idea. The original plan had something like that, although the scissor trusses were found to be a little bit contemporary. So they've returned and kind of enclosed or boxed in the gable end to provide the detailing.
For so consistency with the existing.
Yeah, I hope that clarifies it.
The scissor trusses, they didn't form a total overhang, though.
No, rather than maybe, I'm not a builder, but that style of trussing is one way to achieve the structural requirements. The committee's opinion was that it was too contemporary, so they've come back with what they're showing now, which is sort of a gable-ended deck covering. There's other ways that they could not have that gable-end mass and just have the roof and the mount in the simpler trussing, the simplest support. There's probably other ways to do it, and that's something that they're asking.
Has the committee looked at the details on it? Because, look, we have, this is the front entrance, and here's our new one. The details are all in the covering, right? And we're copying exactly the guardrail detail. I think it, and look at the fascia board is very artistic here. It totally catches right on the money there.
It's the depth.
So what is an acceptable depth in your?
To me, it just adds a lot of mass to have a solid covering over the depth.
But if we go to a expose like arbor, it has nothing to do with Fulcratorian, right? Then you have an open lattice.
Okay, so is there another, any other possible way of achieving less of the feeling of
I would talk to her
extension?
To reduce the depth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to know what, in your opinion, is a depth that is a proper massing to you. Because it's a subjective thing. To me,
it's a subjective
to
thing.
Me,
and
the,
it's also,
the way it's massed it's, now
yeah.
is quite appropriate. Now, if that's a subjective thing, right? So if
Absolutely.
I can get a measurement of 8 feet, 7 feet, if it's 3, then I might even tell her, don't put it on because 3 is so short.
You know,
or
three
we
is
could
far
have
too
a.
Short.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to use it. You'd just be walking out there to take the stairs.
Yeah.
Now, if she could get 7.5 to work with you or 8, if that's an acceptable
so
depth.
The reason why I'd like
yeah.
to have that porch off the back is so that I have actual outdoor eating space and entertainment space without having to go into the yard. It's a small yard, and we have the guest house that's also in the back there. And so it creates a separate space. And so that's the thinking behind it. And I don't, when I look at it, I don't feel like it's too big for the space being in my yard.
My question to, can I ask the architect a question?
Please.
It's not the size of the deck.
Okay.
It's
the
size,
massive
the massiveness
the house,
of
or
the
gable?
The cover?
It's
the
cover.
Yeah,
solid
the roof
over
which
the
adds a lot of mass to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to accommodate your needs and still have the deck and still have the back of the house in some manner consistent with the rest of the architecture of the house without having a covering?
Yeah, one of the reasons why I ended up putting that truss was to reduce the mass. So a lot of hotels have porte-cochers, and he's actually doing a porte-cocher with me right now to reduce the mass. And we ended up putting a truss to lighten it up, but that's too modern, right? So that's how we ended up doing this kind of an approach.
If I remember, and I may be totally wrong on this,
uh-huh.
when I remember the original drawings and the truss, they seemed, they weren't just straight trusses.
Scissors. Yes, scissors truss, yeah.
That followed the form of the roof. It seemed like they were more elaborate and had some
mm-mm.
curve in them.
No, they were following this exact form, but at a scissor arrangement, yeah. Yeah. The reason
why
we're.
What do you mean by a scissor arrangement? Did they go like this?
It was an X form that wasn't quite parallel to the roof because it kind of went this way.
So it wasn't just following.
Correct.
It wasn't the trusses that followed
the scissor
form of the roof.
Is like this. Then you have your tails. Right. That's a scissor. It looks like a pair of scissors,
okay,
right?
Okay.
I mean, here. This is what it was before. So now what we've done is we filled this, put the detail in here. We have the posts to scale. So
well, okay.
That was a change. Yeah.
I like the trusses better. If they're
tell me about it. That's why we put it on there. We rejected the design.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
So every
okay.
Yeah.
So
there could be a discussion that
right.
could become part of.
That's why we did it.
Or not
yeah.
of the committee.
Yeah. I think
discussion.
We'll move forward on this, and maybe if there's anyone from the public that wants to make a comment on this project. Otherwise,
yes.
I think
they
we close the public hearing.
Would it be possible to condition this part of design and allow us to proceed forward, and I will put more effort into figuring this out.
We can put that
in
into
trust-like
the motion.
Fashion to maintain the debt,
if
reduce
the
mass. I think I can pull it off with another truss configuration with the detail.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident I can figure it out.
Does it have to have a roof on it?
It
yes.
does.
Yes.
It does for the functionality of what she wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also it matches the house because the fascia board and it's all comp shingle.
Mm-hmm.
It will look good if I can lighten the mass. I can get a way to get a truss in there with the details. I believe I can.
Okay,
do
I think
so.
We'll address
wait,
that.
I need to really understand this because
mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble. When you say truss,
mm-hmm.
that's the structure. Is
yes.
it still covered with a roof, or
it's
is it
still
open?
Covered with the roof? Yes.
Oh.
The original one was a scissor truss, and the roof was still covered here, right? So the shingles are running this way, but this was lightened up to open up and allow.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You see what I mean? Right, and that's what we're showing in the model, and
yeah.
all the root plan
yeah.
showed that, and
in,
so
in
forth.
In that case, I would like to still shorten the depth a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's address that in our,
yeah.
our maybe our motion. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The
if you can leave those there for 1 second, I was
yeah.
going to point it. So we're just talking amongst ourselves.
Yes.
So
yes.
I will say, first
public
of all,
hearing is now closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all,
you
I want to thank you
go
guys.
Ahead and sit down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Just be quiet now.
Oh no.
Sorry.
Go easy on us.
That's the problem of dealing.
You've got to trust Gordon. He knows
yeah.
what he's doing. I mean, he really does.
Okay. So.
Okay. First, yeah, I'll just say first thanks to our applicant.
Yes,
they
thank
listened
you.
To us. I think they've done everything we asked them to do, even though maybe we wished we hadn't asked them to do something. As to the materials, you know, as a committee, we've had this discussion whether we require the old world materials or we go back to the new ones. And in my mind's eye, there's too much benefit to be gained from the newer materials. These are environmentally sound, fireproofing in our neighborhoods. There's all kinds of reasons that if they look like wood, and they mimic wood, let's go ahead and go with the material. So I would approve the siding as well, with the caveat that under no circumstances will we allow a technical depo. So whatever it is, the limit on the siding has to go no further than the technical demo. And then on the massing on the
is this
overhang,
the motion you're making?
No, these are just my comments.
Sounds like
make it into a motion.
See, I don't, the massing on the top, I know it looks bad in the pictures, but if you look at the pitch on it,
mm-hmm.
so your profile just isn't going to be that much, I don't think, from the side. And again, this is all in the back of the house. So to me, having a 10-foot covered porch with this lower profile roof, I think is acceptable. It's fine. Now, if you guys really want them to try to find a foot or two less to reduce the massing, I would be in support of that. But this has to be a usable space. I can't imagine anything less than 8 feet being
right.
usable.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go lower than less than 8 feet if that was the mandate of the committee, but I could live with 10.
Make a motion.
Okay, make that motion.
Okay. Let's see. I will move to approve construction of a second-story addition exceeding 100 square feet and exterior alterations to an existing contributing single-family residence in the Broadway Historic District, a property zoned R-1D LHP located at 44 Broadway, APN 510-45-015, consisting of the plans and materials as submitted to the Historic Preservation Committee today, with two further modifications. One, that there be no technical demo allowed with the replacement of the siding, and two, that the depth of the deck be limited to 8 feet. Is that what everybody wants?
Or you, not me.
I mean, yeah, you could start. It sound through the chair. The maker of the motion, you started by saying that you were...
I would approve it at 10 feet with good faith, reasonable efforts to reduce it to 8 feet, but no event less than 8 feet.
So not require reduction to 8?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes.
And I would second that motion. Okay, and all in favor?
Was there any discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Discussion.
Is there any discussion?
Is that good?
You do a great job.
No, and I think you have a great house. Congratulations.
And so we have 3-2.
They went for four.
Oh, there's four.
Passes unanimously, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So moving forward to 46 Los Gatos Boulevard.
Thank you.
It's a darling house.
I love it. I love to bring you all inside and show it off.
Please do. Invite us.
It's so
Okay. So first of all, the staff on item number Gattis Boulevard, item number 4.
Yes. Hi. My name is Erin Walters, project planner. So this application is requesting approval for construction of a new second-story addition to an existing pre-1941 single-family residence. This is located at 46 Los Gatos Boulevard. And the commission did review this as a preliminary review on August 23rd and provided feedback to the applicant. The applicant has since made modifications based on that feedback. And that concludes staff's report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, are there questions for staff? Okay, seeing none, can we hear from the applicant? Okay, please state your name and thank you.
Welcome. Michelle Kasanovich, architect.
Thank you.
You guys looked at plans last time, so I just brought them again. Okay, want to see them.
So this is an addition to the rear of the home. The comments that were made last time and revisions that I did make in response to those were adding the window at the front. This elevation on the cover sheet is actually the rear window on the front of the new addition, where there is a bit of a elevator tower.
Yeah, can you want to be silent?
Okay.
We've got the recording here.
Okay.
Just speak loud so the audience can hear.
So this is the bit that Stephen mentioned last time, adding a window on this elevation so that it wouldn't be so blank.
That's good.
And this bit of addition is set back on the second half rear of the house. The other change was to modify the railing at the second floor, which is new, to match the existing first floor railing at the veranda that is covered. And the rear portion of this bedroom I tightened up so that we could have a matching pitch. The last, Lee, you had a comment, it was out of proportion last time. So I tightened it up and I tried to balance each side of the bedroom with similar windows looking out. The floor area is exactly the same as last time, which is 534 square feet of addition at the second floor. The window and door styles in the kitchen down here last time were shown very small and incorrect. This time I have them the width of the existing trim and everything on the house. And again, all the materials that will be used in the exterior are to match existing same 9-inch exposure on the siding or the 2.5-inch beadboard that's diagonal or vertical. I was drawing all the existing details on the house today. They're not part of the set. The thing that is added from last time, and I don't know if you know what you will say about it, but the porch up here has addition of a roof over it.
Sorry.
Yeah. That was gonna be my comment. I know.
Was it open last time?
When I presented it last time, it was an open, open roof deck. So
it didn't have.
Correct. So it cut off right here. Again, that's I'm adding it here as an ask and a proposal. Just for the weather, they sit outside a lot. It's not going to break this project. if we need to move it or get chop it, that's okay. This is again the. Let's see. This is the existing side elevation, and the dashed line indicates the addition on that side of.
And so, if the cover to the porch goes away, mm-hmm. it comes down
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How deep is your porch? As long as we're talking about deep porches.
Can I put the plan? I know. It's not super deep.
This house seems bigger anyway than the last house.
This house, yeah.
And yet I don't think it is.
It's really there's only 5'9" of space on the porch outside the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So it's rather petite. It's enough to get a chair in each corner and a little side table. But yeah, it's not a lot.
Okay.
They do have a very deep roof on the first floor that's existing, covering their veranda. So the wall line on the first floor is the one wall line. This is at the back of the house where the area of work would be done that this exterior siding would need to be completely pulled off, most likely, and reassembled because of the structure that it's going to take to support the second floor. And we talked about that last time. I put in French doors back where they were, but I have a third light here. What I'm concerned about in this kitchen is that it's very dark.
Because of the
deep, deep roof, yes. And they have a big skylight that's in the kitchen now that I'm removing. So it's going to be even darker. I'm trying to get skylights right here, but that's not really the center part of the kitchen. And with all the tightened restrictions on Title 24, I don't even know that we will be able to do these skylights on the kind of south side of the building. Mm-hmm. I would like to have them be able to have more view, more light from the kitchen from a functional standpoint, being able to move things in and out of the kitchen easily and have as much light as possible. That's the only way I can think of doing it, since I'm not moving the wall line out to get closer to the sun.
No more things like maybe you should.
Well,
no.
They like
Forget
being
I said
outdoors.
That. Forget I said that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have questions for the applicant?
Is this all veranda?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then it gets real narrow on the side.
How deep is that?
I wish I had a scale with me.
But that's existing too.
Right? Yeah, I know. I'm just curious.
If the top is 5'9", it's probably 11.
Yeah. That's great size. That's
good. Yeah. Yeah. They eat out here. They pretty much out there all the time, which is really nice.
Okay. So do we have anyone from the public that would like to make a comment on this project? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close the conversation and
do I stay or go?
Committee discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it looks really good, and I really appreciate the drawings that you did that show what's staying, the color-coded drawings. Those really help to visualize the project. I think it looks really good.
I agree. Do you have comments?
Okay. Yeah, my comment is the same as I had for the last one. The covered porch adds to me, not only does it add bulk, but because of all the other additions that have been made to the house, if you took out the stick detailing, it would look more like a Queen Anne than an Italian.
Oh, that is definitely what I wanted to talk to you about that. So,
can we ask her to come back?
We could reopen for a specific question.
Yes, we'll reopen for a specific question, Ms. Quintana, if you would like to.
Well, maybe it's a moot point that there isn't a name and covered roof over it, but I didn't want to put just a beam and a king post there, and so I tried to take the diagonal detailing just to do very simple stick, because I know it's not a Queen Anne, you know. So, and it's a unique situation on the house where it's a gable end that is coming out over some other, you know, exterior floor area. So, and I didn't know if that would ever work, or what would work as staying in the East Lake style. Would it be more of a flat stick coming out, radiating, or nothing? Okay.
But I will ask you about recessing the roof.
Uh-huh.
For, you're okay with that?
We can do that.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to reclose the public hearing and move forward with our discussion. And Commissioner Raspe, do you have any you'd like to add?
Not too much. First of all, again, thank you to our applicant. It's clear you listened to all our directives, including my window. Thank you. I understand Lee's concern about the overhang, but again, like the last one, it doesn't bother me. And this one's even smaller, and it's, again, back of the house. And I'm visualizing it here. I'm looking at the picture with and without, and to me, it strikes me more as a stylistic concern I don't think it ruins the architectural ideas of the house by extending that. So I would be open to, as it's drawn, giving the covered patio or enclosure at the back. But again, all the other changes, I think, are fantastic, and I think this is a great project.
Okay. Any, any further comments? Okay. And would anyone like to make a motion?
I don't know if I have the majority or if Lee has the majority.
Someone can make a motion and see if they get sufficient votes.
You know, I'll make a motion, but, you know, I'm so rusty at making motions that I feel incompetent to do it.
Stay tuned at it.
Okay.
You do a ball at the Planning Commission, too.
Oh, not tonight, I don't. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Want to take a run?
Okay, yeah, take a run. I move to approve construction of a second-story addition to an existing pre-1941 single-family residence on property zoned R1D, located at 46 Los Gatos Boulevard APN 532-29-016. Do I have to read the rest of it?
No, that's sufficient.
That's sufficient, okay. With the following condition, that the roof over the second story veranda or porch or whatever it's called be shortened, and I will leave it to the judgment of the architect, but as much as possible.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. And all those in favor
Aye.
Of this
Aye.
Motion? Okay, we have a unanimous. Okay, moving on to our last item. We have Cleveland Avenue. Thank you.
Great, good afternoon. Erin Walters, Associate Planner. This is a preliminary review for the construction of exterior alterations and a new second story addition to an existing pre-1940s single family home. And they also are asking to discuss the determination of significance of the property. This site is located at 80 Cleland Avenue, and the staff report includes the historical background of the property. This is an American Forest-style square residence and was constructed per our records in the 1900. And there were some alterations done on the home. In 1998, there was an approval for a new second-story addition to the subject home. That is included in the staff report. So staff's available for questions. The applicant has provided drawings as well as a letter describing the modifications to the project.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
No question. Is this in an overlay zone? I don't know.
It's not.
It's not. So it's just the pre-1941 status. Okay.
That's correct.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, then we would have the applicant come forward, please, and state your name.
David Jamel, Arcadia Architecture. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
I think there is more site if you guys are looking at it. So it's a... It's a house with only basically two bedrooms and a little office. And so the new people who moved in really wanted to have at least another bedroom, which we are proposing at the back of the house, so it's not really visible from the front. It's a very steep lot, by the way. And so what we're doing is trying to reduce any grading by basically extruding the second floor toward the back of the hill. So it expands onto the hill, almost like a bridge that you can walk underneath. We're not filling the back and not changing too much the topography of the lot. The other major, that's about 320 square feet on the second floor. The other major addition is on the first floor. This purple area is basically another 320 square feet that we're adding, because as you can see, the existing square, the real core of the original house, which was this one, basically had this small addition to it, which is very small for a kitchen and dining room, a small passage. The entry to the house was directly into the living room, and there is a hallway. So there weren't many positions for, you know, living room, TV, dining, and so we're proposing this addition to free the kitchen to be in the new corner, relocating the stairs away from the entry, and opening up some spaces so there is a double height ceiling feature, so the whole house feels integral, even though the second floor you can tell was added later on. This is basically the major change to the first floor. On the second, we push toward the back, which is this blue area. This square represents the existing footprint of the second floor existing. This is the lower single roof floor of the single story addition, obviously, but the addition is only this portion. And this in blue is the addition for the second story. It's a little complex because it's on different levels. What we try to do, because we really love actually the front elevation of the existing house, and I apologize, the traditional railings are not shown because we run out of 3D modeling time, but our intention is to match exactly the same railings. As you can see, the second story windows and door, there's a balcony, so there's a door upstairs too, do not align with the lower level openings. And so as part of our proposed front elevation changes, instead windows, doors, all of that will be matched in width and alignment, so the symmetry of that will be preserved. This that you see here is the real first story proposed addition with vaulted ceiling, a shed structure stepped in behind this one, so it's not on the same wall alignment. And our idea is to continue the existing trellis column length that, again, we're showing with simple pickets, but our intention is to keep existing traditional railing design. I'll show you some pictures. Trying to make sure that it complies with today's code by maybe using some mesh, some materials to make sure that all the openings comply with today's safety codes and heights and all of that. But the design will be exactly the same. So continuing this trellis element to wrap around in front of the addition. We're proposing standing seam metal roofing because of the location. And quite frankly, the house being so up high on the hill gets seen mostly from underneath. So I think we're gonna put a lot of attention on the eaves of the roofs. And our consideration is the actual material of the roof above won't really be seen. It's a more durable material and allows me to use a very shallow slope. And by doing that on the side, then I don't have to increase any height pretty much of the house. So the existing ridge line pretty much stays the same if you were to be horizontal in front of it. You'll never see from that point of view, of course. So we were not able to determine the significance historically of this house because, again, of all the additions throughout its history, in both at the first level and the second level. And therefore, we don't really know how much we can alter it. But this is what we're proposing to do, and we're asking for a determination or recommendation from you guys. Thank you very much.
Can you tell me, what's the existing square footage of the house, and what will be most your plan?
Yes, the existing one is about 1,600, and we're adding 650, something like that, divided in between the first and the second floor.
Okay, and overall height, are you adding?
No. So okay. This line, that's what I was mentioning, the ridge line, basically my addition that is perpendicular to the front, the ridge line of the addition matches the ridge line that is horizontal in the front. So from the front, you really wouldn't see anything beyond that point.
Okay.
Also, I noticed that the staff report mentions that the new trellis on the side here for our outdoor kitchen doesn't match the existing. Again, something we haven't rendering-wise finalized, but it will match, will be all white with the same sort of colonial details that we actually really like. We'll bring it around.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is just a preliminary review by our committee. We're not making any decisions. We're just throwing out answering your questions, putting in our input. So clearly that's what this meeting is all about. So for me, I'm finding this home actually is not consistent with our guidelines. It's a pre-1941 home, and it still does look like a four square, you know, the original design of the home, even though there's been some changes. The whole architect and the whole feeling of the home is strikingly different than what is basically on the street and the conformity of the neighborhood. So, you came here for comments, and my comment would be, I think you need a redesign because I don't think it fits with the neighborhood. It's not in the guidelines. It's supposed to blend in, and this is totally, it's very different. I mean, your design is nice, and I'm sure it would be very appropriate for the family, but for the neighborhood, I don't think it's consistent with what our guidelines are asking for.
Through the chair, if we could ask just to make sure we don't have any public comment on this.
I'm sorry, yes.
Before we do feedback.
Yes, do we have any public comment on this?
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Continue.
So that would be basically my opinion, and I don't, you know, my fellow commissioners or committee members.
Are we supposed to discuss that now or after?
So because this is, as other business, it's not quite as formal as one where we're making a motion of determination. We want to make sure that any committee members who have questions of the applicant have the opportunity to ask, and then we can give that feedback afterwards.
So my understanding is that we need to make a determination of whether, or to give feedback on whether is a candidate for being removed.
So this request is for preliminary feedback. So it's not a determination of removal from the inventory at this time. But in addition to requesting feedback on the proposed renovation, they also did want to present the information that they had pulled together to get an indication as to whether the committee might be open to finding that the house has been renovated too much to determine that it's still significant. So it sounds like those are the two points that they are looking for preliminary feedback on this evening.
Well, so to answer the first question, or maybe the second question, first of all, I think as presently constituted, to me it's a historic home, and it appears to be a historic home, well sited within the neighborhood. Now, there could be, if you had enough research and history to show there's been X many alterations, that may have that discussion. But looking at it today, to me, it looks like a pre-1941 home of period architecture, which is worth salvaging and should not be removed from the inventory. So that's number one. Number two, then, as to this specific design, I agree mostly with my fellow commissioner here. First of all, I like the massing. I think the massing works. Too many times we see people try to build huge projects, but they don't work. And you haven't done that. You've kept, I think your sizing is reasonable. But I think the overall flavor of the house is a little too modern for that neighborhood, for what the house currently is. So I would, again, I think you can keep the central design, but to me, for instance, what stands out is the seam roof is too modern for that neighborhood. I think you need to go back to a composite. The windows, I would consider breaking those up with lighted windows. Just a couple of ideas. I mean, you've got the lapboard siding on the side, that appears right. The lattice or the truss work seems fine. But I think the combination of both the windows and the roofing material, to me, push this into a modern home as opposed to a historic appearance structure. So those are my, off the top of my head, what I see.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually feel the same way. I think that's a very nice design, but I don't think it's suited to that neighborhood. And that was the first thing that struck me too. I love that type of roof, but I don't feel like it's the right.
I mean, when you guys talk about the roof, you mean the material?
The material.
Or the shape of it?
The material.
Yes.
And also the glazing seems very modern, and I think the shape of the addition with the I don't know what the shape is, the angled glazing with it, it looks nice, but I don't think it's appropriate to a historic home. So,
thank you.
And my comments would be that on the first question of whether it's a candidate to be removed from the inventory, it seems to have maintained its, even though there have been additions to it, we do additions to homes all the time that are historic, that add on second stories, etc., but it maintained the basic form of the architecture, so I would not be able to recommend its removal from the inventory. And having said that, that house has absolutely no relationship to the existing historic house. Pretty harsh, but.
Okay, are there any further comments? Okay, I think we'll Well, we don't need to.
No,
we don't
need to.
Yeah.
Close
so,
that item.
Yeah.
Thank you for the feedback.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
So item six is just a reminder that the next meeting of the HPC is another special meeting because of the holidays. That will be on the 20th of December. Same time, same place.
Thank you.
And Vice Chair, would you like to close the meeting?
Oh, yes, before we all close the meeting. Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a
no. There's no waiting.